Hey everybody, welcome back to Smart Mouth. This is your host Catherine with a little advertisement before we get into today's episode. There is a online furniture store called Jungalow. That's like bungalow, but with a J, like a jungle bungalow. Jungalow, you get it. I like all the stuff there, and I also like the way that the store operates in kind of a people first philosophy. It's a store with a mission to encourage people to like create a home, their surroundings that make them feel happy and healthy and also inspired. And luckily enough, all the stuff at the store is really cute. I even saw that Crystal, who hosts one of my favorite podcasts, The Read, posted about buying one of the chairs that they have over at shop.jungalow.com, which also sells lighting and other furniture and art prints and lifestyle goods, you know, little trays, cute little things. I personally have my eye on the Cosmic Desert wallpaper. I just have never been able to decide if I wanted an ivory or in teal. But I think I'm going to make my decision soon because Jungalow has partnered with this podcast, Smart Mouth, and is offering listeners 15% off your order when you use the code Smart Mouth when you check out. And that code is Smart Mouth, all one word, all in caps, like you're yelling it and you're really excited about it, which you are because it gives you 15% off. So just go to shop.jungalow.com. And again, Jungalow is spelled J-U-N-G-A-L-O-W, shop.jungalow.com. Pick out some cute stuff, enter code SMARTMOUTH, get your 15% off, and then enjoy your new furnishings. And now, on to the show. Almond pear.
Ooh, yeah.
Such a good combo.
Ooh, I fall.
Think. Yes, yes. Perfect
yes.
for fall. You should get into it.
I really should.
I was actually going to ask you about a recipe that, a sweet potato recipe. Mm-hmm. Actually, this was just potatoes. And it's a Japanese preparation where they just boil them and then saute them.
Mm-hmm.
And it calls for all these cool Japanese ingredients and like mirin and soy sauce and then a spice mix and stuff, but with mm-hmm. butter. So for that kind, and there is brown sugar.
Ah, yeah.
So what would you substitute in instead?
For the butter?
Yeah.
Or you could use a vegan butter. You could use like Earth Balance.
So like a spread thing works best for that.
I wouldn't do a margarine though, just because like help. No good.
So,
but Earth Balance is okay. I'm not the biggest fan of Earth Balance because I don't think I can digest it very well. But there are different ones. There's another one that's really fancy called Miyoko's.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy it like nowadays, you can buy it like Whole Foods.
Okay.
And you can find it easily.
Okay.
Probably at Sprouts. But that one I would use.
What's the difference between more expensive though. That and margarine?
Margarine is hydrogenated. So it's just the process of like blending the oils to make it solid and to make it spreadable is different. And the hydrogenated oils are like bad. They can be they can turn into trans fats and be carcinogens in the body.
Oh.
So that's why I don't recommend margarine. Also, margarine has, because it's hydrogenated, has more water content.
Uh-huh.
So you wouldn't want to use that if you're baking. If you need to replace butter for baking, like biscuits mm-hmm. or pie crust, I wouldn't use margarine. I would use vegan butter.
Mm-hmm.
So that is called that.
Right, right.
Yeah. Then it'll say on the package, non-hydrogenated.
Oh.
Or I would use like shortening. You could just use, you know, canola shortening or a vegan shortening.
Okay.
Yeah. But not, I don't think I would use margarine for anything in the world.
So everybody, this is Smart Mouth. And as you can tell, we're already fully into a conversation about vegan ingredients with our guest, Janae Claiborne. Hi, Janae.
Hey.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we met at like a book festival on a panel.
Mm-hmm.
That's our foodie connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the author of a cookbook called Sweet Potato Soul.
Right.
So you like sweet potatoes?
Love them. I love sweet potatoes. My favorite food have always been.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you weren't raised vegan, correct?
Correct. No, I was raised a little different though. I was raised semi-vegetarian.
Oh, really?
So we didn't eat any red meat
or
pork when I was growing up, but we did eat chicken and fish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any particular reason for having that kind of diet?
Yeah, sure. So actually my mother stopped eating red meat when she was, think she was 11 or 12. She was like middle school age because my grandfather was a hunter and he just grossed her out with everything he'd bring home.
Oh, interesting.
He always brought the game home to clean and all that and, you know, would cook it. And she's just so grossed out by red meat after that.
Once she
got older to make her own food decisions. So she quit eating red meat. Everything else was still fair game. My dad, on the other hand, was raised vegan. So that's a totally, he had like a totally different background. He was raised in a religious group called the Hebrew Israelites.
Okay.
And they're vegan. That's just what they are. So he was raised vegan. And when he met my mom was when he quit being vegan.
Right. Love will do that too.
Yeah, I know. And she introduced him to, he says, shrimp, for example. And he got super, super, super sick. And he was like hooked. So to my mom and the shrimp, I guess. So it's a
That's
shame.
So funny.
I still don't know if he can eat shrimp, but you know, this whole new world was like opened up to him.
Yeah.
Because we have other family who's still in the community, the Hebrew Israelite community, and other family who's, you know, they're still vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like family events, like even when I was growing up, when we would go to a family event with his family, there would be vegan options always. So those people never had to, there was always just something for them. It was like never a question. They would bring their own food as well. So anyway, when they were raising me, once I was born, it was just obvious that it was going to be semi-vegetarian.
Right.
Because he's still never had red meat. And that's one thing that he says that he has never had any desire to try. And then, you know, obviously he'd probably get very sick if he had it.
Right.
Dairy he's allergic to. I mean, my whole family, we're all allergic to it.
Got it.
But yeah.
That makes it easier to be a vegan.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So you were raised vegetarian or right. not?
Or semi.
Semi.
Yeah.
Pescatarian-ish, a little chicken now and again.
Chicken pescat-ish.
Yeah. There should be just no red meat, essentially.
Right, right. I think I don't even know who came up with that term, semi-veg. My grandmother always said it.
Okay. Yeah, it seems accurate.
Yeah, semi.
And just probably not a lot of dairy showing up in your household.
No,
because...
but it's funny because I've been allergic to dairy. When I was a little kid, if I had ice cream, for example, I'd get super mucousy, big stomach ache, be a big ordeal. But that only meant that I didn't eat ice cream. I didn't eat yogurt. I didn't drink milk, but they still use dairy. Like my grandmother still cooked with a ton of butter.
I see.
And baked with milk and buttermilk and all that stuff. So... it wasn't, yes, I was allergic, but I was not avoiding it completely.
I see. Yeah. Yeah.
Cheese pizza I would eat. I would have to take, you know, most of it off.
Oh my gosh.
But I would, you know, I loved it still and I would eat it still. So, and I was sick my whole childhood.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Like my family, we have all these health problems, obviously like the standard American things.
Sure.
Like diabetes and high blood pressure. But for me, I was in and out of the doctor with different medications and different tests my entire childhood for digestive issues. So obviously, now looking back, now I don't eat dairy anymore at all.
Yeah.
It's like, dang, how come they just couldn't say, like, girl, you need to quit with the dairy. Like the butter, every little tiny trace amount, you got to take it out.
That's, you know, that's interesting because like in the women's internet sphere, people talk about cutting out dairy all the time now. And I wonder if that's because, you know, we're around the same age, like growing up, it was never recommended. Like maybe try cutting out dairy. So now that people know that that's like an option, they're like, get it out of here.
And doctors now recommend it too.
Yeah.
Which when we were growing up, the closest thing I ever got to a doctor recommending a diet change was a doctor, I had really bad acne, a doctor recommending that I stop eating chocolate. That was it.
You know, I almost just threw my mic. That is so infuriating because chocolate doesn't have anything to do with your skin.
No, exactly.
Diet really doesn't have that much. I mean, the dairy sometimes.
The dairy and the chocolate maybe.
Well,
I certainly
maybe.
Wasn't eating dark chocolate.
Right, because
no
kids don't
way.
Tend to like that.
I was not that bougie. No.
But it's usually for women, acne is hormonal. I'm so outraged
now. Yeah. But the hormones from the dairy too.
Yeah, right? Yeah, totally. But something like chocolate.
No,
that has
minor. And I quit eating chocolate and I quit for like, you know, a couple of weeks.
Right.
I didn't quit like permanently, but no change.
No.
Of course not.
Of course not.
That's just silly.
Apparently doctors are given like only have to take like one nutrition class in medical school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they come in with their white coat and we have to call them by their last name, but they don't know what the hell they're talking
about.
They're
just like us. Yes. Exactly. They're just like regular people who don't know anything about nutrition.
Yeah.
And the nutritionists also, like, if you go into the nutrition model, going to school for mm-hmm. to be a nutritionist, like, the what you're learning in school is so influenced by big industry
yep.
and all these other outside forces as well. So they're coming with a biased POV as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's difficult to navigate as a regular person.
Absolutely.
Or a doctor or even a nutritionist. It's really hard to navigate like what's true and what's not true. I'm like, yeah. what we should really be advising.
Yeah, I think I've long thought that the food pyramid that we grew mm-hmm. up with was a total scam. Mm-hmm. And it was.
Straight
and
scam.
Then I started thinking about the phrase, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, wait a minute, in the wheat lobby mm-hmm. is huge in this country.
Right.
They said that was the base of the pyramid, yeah. that we should be eating 6 to 11 servings
a day.
Of grains a day.
Right.
And breakfast for a lot of Americans is cereal.
Exactly. Yeah. Cereal with the milk.
Yes.
So, because of course that's yes. on your pyramid as well.
Yes.
Which most of us can't even digest the stuff.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Straight
that's
scam.
The other thing. It's a total like white person way of yes. eating, because white people are the only
exactly.
ones who can process dairy.
Exactly. I was recently at a conference for athletes. It was a nutrition-ish conference for athletes who have quit drinking dairy, and it was to help encourage them and give them more information about influencing others to also quit drinking dairy. That was mm-hmm. the whole thing.
Hmm.
So there are all these different doctors and nutritionists, and one of the doctors, Dr. Milton Mills, gave the numbers, percentages of people of color, mm-hmm. and broke it down to like Native American, Black American, da-da-da. For what, like the percentage of us who cannot digest dairy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like straight racist. And his talk was, it was titled like Dairy and Racism, I think.
Uh-huh.
And it was just straight racist. And like the efforts that the U.S. government has gone to get us, the folks who really can't digest this stuff,
yeah.
to drink it and to rely on it and yeah. for it to be in our schools and fed to the children and in the hospitals and yeah. in prisons and all these things. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Straight scam.
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it makes me so angry.
Me too.
It's just so unexamined, I
yes,
think.
Exactly.
I mean, you never know when like unexamined meets like hateful racism, mm-hmm. but there's mm-hmm. the unexamined stuff, like that's
exactly.
bad too.
Exactly. Oh, totally.
Oh my God.
Totally.
I'm getting all like flustered.
I know, right? I'm getting hot.
So when did you make the choice to become a vegan?
I made the choice in 2011, March 2011.
Oh, dang.
Was
so
it March or April?
May. That's really March, specific.
Spring, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a date. It's just I don't have it in my brain.
Uh-huh.
I have it on my blog. But I became vegan after a year of working at a vegan restaurant. A
okay.
little over a year. It took mm-hmm. me a little while to finally. Because I'm working at this restaurant. It's funny because the guy, the owner, his name is Eric. And there's actually two. There's partners, Eric and Peter. Eric did the hiring, and I think he hired people who he saw had potential, the
oh,
vegan potential.
Uh-huh.
I was already vegetarian.
Okay.
But then once I was vegetarian, I sort of flip-flopped between that and being pescatarian, because I'm like, I don't understand why I would be a vegetarian and not a pescatarian, and so flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a year of working there, I finally became vegan.
I see.
Yeah.
And the term for your kind of veganism, correct me if I'm wrong, is...
Mm-hmm.
You're an ethical vegan,
right? Yeah.
So, that's I mean, that you also had like the health issues, like not being
right.
able to process dairy and stuff like that.
Right.
But we've done a previous episode on this show about veganism where the guest was someone who became vegan strictly for health issues.
Yeah.
But you, like, you have your pin
yeah,
on your coat about cows. So, like, you care about animals and
yeah.
that sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
That's
primarily.
Is that your main, so that's
yeah.
your main impetus more
and
than
it
health
was
stuff?
Then. And it has been since. I mean, the thing is, back then when I first became vegan, I didn't understand the health stuff yet.
Okay.
So it was 2011. There was plenty of information out there. I just wasn't that interested in it because at that point I had been following a plant-based lifestyle. I wasn't vegan,
mm-hmm.
but I had been following a plant-based lifestyle for, by that point, I think it was like 4 years
mm-hmm.
or something. And my health issues hadn't gone away.
Mm-hmm.
So because I was following this plant-based lifestyle, I figured, well, something's just wrong with me. The diet isn't going to help. It's not going to change. So I didn't think that by changing my diet even more, by becoming vegan, that anything would change.
I see.
I really didn't consider that. And then the environmental stuff, I totally knew nothing about that then at all. So it wasn't for that. It was strictly for the animals, because when I was working at that restaurant, there are other people who working there, obviously, who are vegan, and a lot of customers and such. And I just, you know, I have these conversations with people about, you know, I tell them I'm still eating my yogurt, my pizza, and, you know, occasionally, you know, sometimes fish. And they would tell me, well, that's all fine for you, but do you know what it's doing to the animals? And I'm like, don't tell me, don't tell me.
Right.
And I would stick my fingers in my ears and I'd walk away. So often, because I was, I'm just a very sensitive person. I don't want to hear it, basically.
I totally feel you. Yeah. Yeah.
So it, that's why it took me so long, because I'm like, no, don't tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me. So finally, I think probably like 3 or 4 months before I became vegan, I started feeling super guilty every time I ate an animal product. So a piece of pizza or a slice of pizza or whatever. And I had no, I didn't really understand the animal agriculture system or like the dairy industry. I don't understand it, but I knew something was wrong, because these people, every time I, you know, told them I ate pizza, they were like trying to give me a lecture. And I'm like, I think they're right about this, but I don't know why. I don't know the details. So finally, I educated myself. I did all this research. It took me like 1 second to be like, okay, I'm vegan. But I continued reading books, watching movies, talking to other people, going online and reading about this, looking at photos. And I just really, like, I became vegan, sure, but I kept educating myself. And I'm like, no, wait, I didn't realize all this stuff is going on. I'm going to, like, that's basically why I decided to become like a vegan activist in a way, and you know, start doing this as my career rather than just as my lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah. Because I wanted to help other people, because, you know, it, I think it's important to give people options. A lot of us don't understand that they could be vegan.
Right.
And it might be a better way of living for them. And they don't understand like what's going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
So my job, I think of my job is just making it easier for people to, like, I don't talk about animal suffering much on my website or my social, but I do like to be a resource for people to come to where they've already thought, maybe I'm going to try this vegan thing for animals or for health or whatever. And they see me and they see that I'm offering an easy way to get into it. Delicious food, practical, you know, lifestyle advice and tips, and just showing people that it is possible for them, and just making it easier for them. And then they can continue doing their own research in the health and the ethics and the environmental stuff outside of what I offer. But I'm really just trying to help people, like, just trying to make it easier.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And you can, I think it's like catching more flies with honey type of situation, where if you're just like, look at this stuff that you can cook that's vegan, it's better than being like, you're evil for eating animals.
Right. Because I wasn't, I wasn't trying to hear that either. Right. I wasn't born vegan. So I totally get, like, if you're not vegan, how you can feel about like giving up the animal products, and how you can feel about like all of this stuff. Like, I wasn't born like that. So I get it. I mean, and there's so many things in my life that since I became vegan, I have changed because I've gotten more information. But even today, I've been vegan for 7.5 years or a little longer. I know I don't have all the info. I know, like, I'm not living a harmless lifestyle. Right. It's just like not the case. So it's not about, for me, it's not about trying to make people feel bad. That's kind of hypocritical, right?
Right.
Because there's, we're all causing harm in some ways. It's just trying to help people do is. Oh, I heard this quote yesterday from a friend of mine. She is it's a quote from her son, but he says the good you do should outweigh the harm you do.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be some harm, right? You might be walking down the street and step on an ant.
Right.
And, like, you know, otherwise I might not kill an ant.
Yeah.
There's always going to be harm. Living in the United States, you're going to do harm.
Yeah.
You know, for all these reasons. Capitalism does harm. We're all participating in that. But we can still make better choices to hopefully get to a point where the good can outweigh that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people really are trying their best, and that can mean different things to other people, but just trying to be a little more thoughtful. Plus, it's also a luxury to be able to be thoughtful, because some people are just straight up struggling trying to make it through the day, and they can't think about stuff like that.
Well, too many of us. I think it's like so many of us. I think about my family. So the family I come from is just, I guess, just middle class. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say middle or work upper middle class, nor would I say lower middle class. They're just like in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I think about like when I was being raised, my parents, they wanted me to like eat healthy and do all these things, but they were so busy and like so like the bandwidth was so low.
Yeah.
So it's, I realized like economically, sure, a lot of poor people don't have the luxury. They're talk about working a lot.
Yeah.
Working and all these other things, other issues. So they don't have the bandwidth maybe to have the luxury to like really, really be thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
But like middle class people too, like we're all kind of like in this system, all in this trap.
Yes.
Right.
Totally. America's all about being busy all busy the time. Busy
and like distracted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard.
It's really, really hard. But I think it's okay because, I mean, I don't think that's okay. I think that should change culturally. But I do feel like there's a lot of, there's so much to be optimistic about when you walk into Target and they've got a whole section of toxin-free skincare and, mm-hmm. and sunscreen for the mm-hmm. summertime. Because people, like, we are so busy. But at the same time, those messages about, like, toxins on your skin are still getting through to the mainstream little by little. When you walk into Walmart and they have organic soy milk for me and tofu in the middle of the suburbs of Georgia where I'm from,
uh-huh.
like, it's good. It's happening. And it seems to be happening faster than I would expect, given how distracted and busy we all are.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, the other day, Tucker, do you know Tucker Carlson on Fox News?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know who he is.
You know who he is, right. I know who he is. I never watched the show. But the other day, he had one of my, my idols, I guess. One of my vegan yeah. idols and a friend of ours as well. Jean Bauer on, talking about ethical veganism.
Okay.
On Tucker Carlson's show on Fox News.
So was he like, making fun of her? He mm-mm. was like taking in her ideas and not mocking her?
Another man, but no mocking.
Oh, okay, got it. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. Jean is had such to a, hear it from a man.
Yeah, totally. Especially mm-hmm. I mean, come on. And the audience is gonna have to, like, my grandmother loves Fox News. She already knows about this stuff. But like, she's the type of person who that type of man, you know, we got the patriarchy, that is authority.
Yeah.
Hearing it from him, oh, okay, it's not so crazy.
Right.
And Tucker Carlson had a very civil and open-minded and thoughtful conversation, which I did not expect, because sure. I'm thinking he's going to be making fun the whole time.
Right.
Thoughtful, great conversation. And it's lucky we have Jean Bauer to be a representative, because mm-hmm. otherwise,
right.
don't have me on the show.
Right, exactly. He would try and like talk down to you, yes, and be horrible to
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And I'm like, I'm going to choke you. Yeah, I know. The whole time. So, so these things are growing, even like with the amount of distraction and like, you know, and like busyness that we all have.
Yeah, I do think we are more aware of options maybe than mm-hmm. we have, and then maybe I was about to say we're more media savvy, but then I remembered who our president is. Never mind. Forget
no,
that.
No. The media is more savvy.
Yes.
We aren't. But yes. at disseminating info.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
We got to get better at digesting and like discerning what's right.
But. Yeah. So I like that you love sweet potatoes so much. Obviously, like, a lot of your branding is around that, because mm-hmm. I do think that one thing when I think about like eating plant-based and stuff like that is eating vegetables is so dope. But I think a lot of people, when they stop eating meat or want to stop eating meat and dairy, they don't necessarily eat vegetables. They yeah. eat a lot of substitutes.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So you're yeah. going with like a full on vegetable here.
Yeah. Right. Whole Foods. I call it Whole Foods vegan diet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's 80% of how I eat.
Mm-hmm.
The other 20% is I'll have some processed. I'll eat at a restaurant. I'll have some fried food.
Mm-hmm.
But at least 80% veggies, you know,
yeah.
things that you recognize came out of the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you like Oreos, though?
No, I do not.
Do you like Doritos?
No, I will throw up if I eat a Dorito.
Oh, my gosh.
But I have always. When I was a little kid, I couldn't eat Doritos.
Interesting.
I don't know what it is. I have like an allergy to Doritos. Oreos, the only reason I don't like Oreos is because my taste buds have changed too much to be able to like.
Are they
like,
too sweet for you?
They're not too sweet. They taste like wax. Like that, like the white stuff in my mouth, like it's just like.
It probably. probably is wax.
Yeah. I mean, it's vegan at least, but it's like straight wax. And like the sugar, like I can feel all the grainy, it like isn't blended well. It's not creamy enough for me. I'm like bougie as hell with this Oreos. I'm like, DIY, maybe homemade Oreos, but not from the package.
Oh you my cannot God, that tempt is so me. Funny. So funny. So sweet potato, just so we're clear for the listeners, is a plant. It's a vine, actually, and the sweet potato that we eat is the root of said vine.
Exactly.
And I believe that when the green part is young, it's still tender enough that when cooked, you can eat that as well.
Right, you totally can eat the leaves, and they're very healthy and nutritious.
It's not very common to do that.
In New York, so I used to live in New York at the farmer's market, Union Square Farmer's Market. Mm-hmm. I would occasionally see them at one of the vendors.
Okay.
But I have never again seen them. But they're really healthy for you to eat. If you're growing your own sweet potatoes, you can eat the leaves. Not the case for regular sweet potatoes. They're a different family, right? So sweet potatoes versus white potatoes.
You mean regular potatoes. Right. Not the case for regular potatoes. Those are nightshade.
Right. And those leaves are toxic.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that. Right. But actually, I love that we're recording this episode this year because there has been sweet potato drama in the academic world this year.
I did not know.
So... scientists, the people who do, the archaeology of plants,
yes,
essentially looking at like the fossil imprints from plants, they had determined that sweet potatoes had been in North America, like the southern part of North America.
Yeah, I think I know this story. Yeah.
That they had appeared at least 35 million years ago. Right. So it was assumed that being that old, that they had originated
here
on this side of the planet. But then earlier this year, an Indiana University professor named David Dilker, he identified leaf fossils that were 57 million years old in India, actually.
India.
The eastern side of India. Yeah. And so I love him. He's hedging his bets because he's like, he said that he found these leaf fossils. They're from the morning glory family.
Right. So he was in that family.
You're right.
Right.
Sweet potatoes are from the morning glory family, which are not the same as regular potatoes, which are nightshade family. And he said, the leaves we studied are in the genus Ipomoea, and that includes sweet potato. But I don't know that these were sweet potatoes. We can't say for sure. There may have been or there may not. So he's being all like, you can never say I'm wrong if I never commit
same
to anything.
Though.
Yes. And also, if it's the same family, that's got a 20 million year head start on the American version, then I'm thinking that like the sweet potatoes would have developed.
Yeah, sure. Right.
Yeah.
It's so interesting how they get here. There was another article I read in the New York Times earlier this year about, I think it was like the same like discovery that they found, you know, evidence that it's older and it comes from elsewhere. But that also was going into like basically how did the sweet potatoes get here? Did they come from humans who came earlier than we expected them to have come and from a different way rather than Bering Strait, but through... like over the Pacific Ocean.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of talk about that because, you know, all the islands of Polynesia, often they're so isolated, but they have historical evidence of sweet potatoes too.
Exactly.
And we were talking about like the white point of view. Everyone's thought for a long time that the ones in the native plants in Mexico, Venezuela, up into North America, that the Europeans found them and then took them all the way around the globe.
Right.
No,
they've been traveling all around the world.
Exactly. Yeah, they're really, really common in Polynesian cooking.
Right,
and always have been.
Exactly. That's so fascinating.
We're all ridiculous, and maybe those ones were the ones that came from India first.
Right. Exactly. I went to Hawaii for my honeymoon recently, and we were looking at all of this, like movies, like documentaries, and reading all this stuff about how did the people get to Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
And there's all these different theories, but one of the theories was saying that they actually came from Pacific Northwest, the people. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But they were mapping the trade winds so that those trade winds bringing the that people could have, you know, sailed on are super interesting. How they go from Pacific Northwest.
Uh-huh.
to Polynesia, especially Hawaii, which is like the furthest away, and also down into South America and then up again, like a triangle.
Yes.
So they're saying the people, of course, could have traveled that, but also all the different crops too, mm-hmm. that could have traveled.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like forever and ever and ever ago.
I think that the Pacific Ocean has been just as busy with humans mm-hmm. as the Atlantic mm-hmm. ever was. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, mm-hmm. we know who writes the history. And exactly. Polynesians were also like on a different wavelength. They were building rafts. They right? were like smaller crafts right? than the big European ships.
They were like but, expert at that.
Yeah. I mean, they were so brave.
Yes. Right.
They went out into the Pacific on literal rafts.
Right.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah. But I think everyone was trading just yeah. as much on yeah. this side totally. As well. Yeah.
Totally. Oh, so fascinating.
We don't know that, but I think we can say yes, absolutely. Yeah,
probably. Probably. This is a lot of evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. So going back to like morning glory versus nightshade, because white potatoes are of the nightshade family along with tomatoes, those way, way, way prehistorically, like before 57 million years ago, were the same family, but they split yes. into two different families. And another discovery, recent discovery, was in Argentina, where they found 52 million year old nightshade fossils.
Wow.
So they're thinking that the morning glories and the nightshade had split by at least that long
wow.
ago.
Wow. A long time ago.
These are real ancient plants.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very, very distant cousins yes, are potatoes and sweet potatoes.
Right. Well, I guess we're distant cousins to all this stuff too. To go way, way, way back.
Oh my gosh.
Go way back.
That's some real hippie stuff you've I got know, going on there.
Right? Do you listen to Radiolab?
Not regularly.
Look, they did the Gonad series, uh-huh. and one of the episodes is about the XY and the whatever the one the girls have boys have. Mm-hmm. Listen to that. And they okay. go way back. They theorize why it's actually not so cut and dry as like guys have this, girls have that.
Yeah.
We actually, I think women or I think we all have both or something, but mm-hmm. whatever is expressed. And they were going back to because our distant cousin, the fish, you know, different, you know, fish, a lot of different fish and other types of animals, chickens, frogs, are able to go back and forth between male, female. Mm-hmm. And we obviously have a distant relative too that probably could have gone back and forth. So we still have that encoded in our DNA and in our bodies.
Interesting.
Even today.
Interesting.
So interesting cousin.
Yes.
Fish.
Yes. I love it. Man. Well, as long as we're talking about science, we should now talk about sweet potatoes versus yams.
Yes. Oof, big
this
one.
This is very confusing to Americans because of marketing.
Right.
Those marketers will really get you.
Exactly. Exactly. People still always ask me, Janae, I went to the grocery store to buy some sweet potatoes to make X recipe. All they had were yams. I'm like, y'all know better now, though. Y'all, yes. you know you have Google on your phone.
Yes. So let's see if we get this right. The things that are called yams
yes.
in American supermarkets are sweet potatoes.
Correct.
Because yams are a totally different plant.
Totally different.
That originated in Africa.
Right. It's more like a yucca.
Yes. yes. It's got that starchy.
Yeah.
And the outside of it, the skin is almost like a coconut, almost yeah, as rough
so
as a coconut.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And it's used differently. Okay. So yam, it's funny though, the yams that we, on the rare occasion that you find yams in supermarkets mm-hmm, here,
right.
I guess all those ones were grown in the Caribbean. All the yams exactly. that we get are Caribbean, even right. though 95% of the yams in the world are grown in Africa.
Right, because they're still, they do use it in Caribbean cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so if I wanted to buy some, like in, I don't know about here in LA, but in New York, there's a Caribbean grocery store that
it's
I would go to.
It's harder to find in LA for sure.
Right. You gotta go to probably the African grocery store.
Ah, okay.
I wanted to do a blog post about this. I still want to. I gotta go find some. I gotta find an African grocery store.
Yeah.
I don't know how many there are, but I'm gonna find one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna do like a side by side. I'm gonna take photos and
love
everything.
It.
And break it down.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So in New York, you could find actual yams.
Actual yams.
Easier.
You could find actual yams and all the other interesting tubers that I have no idea what people do with
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, probably originated in Africa or elsewhere, you know, or in the Americas perhaps, but are still used in Caribbean and Latin yeah. American cooking today.
And yams, you have to smash up a lot more than sweet yes. potatoes to get them to an edible state.
Exactly.
So they're harder to work with.
Exactly.
Too.
It's like how in, we're talking about Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
they eat the taro.
Yeah.
To make the, I forgot what the
poi.
Poi, exactly. Yeah, the little, it's closer to that.
The sludgy stuff, yeah, purpley stuff. Exactly, yeah, that's like stuff. A standard component of a traditional Hawaiian
exactly.
meal.
Exactly.
You have to mash the bejesus out of it.
Right. You can't just like put it in the ground and cook it and you open it and it's a delicious, moist, sweet potato.
Sweet potatoes are just so much easier.
Yeah, they really are. And as far as I understand, I don't know, people, you know, we gotta look this up. I think they're actually more nutritious as well, the sweet potatoes.
Than yams?
Yes.
Yams. I believe that most starchy roots like yams are high in calories, but have fewer of the other nutrients because it's just about like, it's another survival food.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely doesn't have like hardly any protein. Yeah. Very low in protein, vitamins. Obviously doesn't have beta carotene.
Right. Right. No, sweet potatoes are like super healthy, right? Mm-hmm. They're super.
Super. Well, vitamin E, vitamin
I don't like
C.
Saying healthy is something I've recently discovered. Yeah. Nutritious?
Nutritious is much better. Yeah. Yeah. Much better term.
Yeah, you can get a lot out of it.
Nutrient dense.
I feel like healthy is really a value loaded word in our current society.
That's so right.
But if you just talk about how many vitamins, that's just science.
Yes, that's so true. And it's like, that's not healthy. I'm always telling people, tell my mom, that is not healthy. Uh-huh. Wine, for example. But though it does have a lot of antioxidants.
I mean, there's a study for every product because it, not because like scientists necessarily needed to know. That's how scientists get paid, is having commercial products pay them to study them and say something like, you can find, like you said, the antioxidants. Sure, there's antioxidants in wine. You can say that.
Yeah. There's some other stuff too.
Yeah.
But you know, don't pay attention to that or anything.
Oh man. Okay, so yes, and another confusion is that yams and sweet potatoes both are grown on flowering plants.
Ah.
But that's just like a coincidence. They're not flowering plants that are related to each other at all.
Mm-hmm. They're both tubers, so.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Also that. So, the sweet potatoes that were grown commercially for US consumption were all white until about 40 or 50 years ago. So if you went to the store and you bought sweet potatoes, those were white too.
Right.
Similar coloring to regular potatoes.
Right.
But then they decided to introduce the orange kind to the market, which I think was probably a really savvy move in the sense that things with colors look more nutritious because they are more nutritious usually.
Exactly.
Like you mentioned the beta carotene.
Right. It's intuitive to us.
Right.
Like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So they introduced those, but they wanted to distinguish it from the white sweet potatoes, so they called them yams, which is a play on a word from Africa, nyami, for yams. I don't know which part of Africa, whichever part
somewhere
grows
west.
Yams. Yeah. Yeah, so the word, it has like, it's weird because they called them yams, knowing they weren't yams, using an old African word.
Right.
And I guess that's partly because a lot of Americans of African descent called sweet potatoes yams anyway.
Because we're using it as an alternative.
Yes. And it goes back to when people came from Africa and they were like, oh, this looks the same. We'll call it a yam.
Exactly. We could do similar stuff with it. Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting how that word came about.
Right?
And in a way, it makes perfect sense. And in other ways, it's like, no, you've really confused the issue further.
It's so interesting, like the migration of foods through people. Yeah.
I
and
agree.
Especially like in like, you know, like a thing like sweet potatoes versus yams. We still have these dishes like candy yams, which is one of my favorite foods in the world.
Nice.
I make it a little healthier, of course, than my Nana. But we still call it that. And it's with sweet potatoes. And that is never going to change. I'm never going to call it candy sweet potatoes.
Right.
Ever. So even me, I understand. I know that's not a yam, but I'm not calling it a sweet potato if it's a candy yam.
Right.
If that's the dish.
No, that totally makes sense. Because words do mean things even if they don't mean like what they mean in the dictionary.
Multiple meanings.
Yeah.
And also like, you know, now, not only like you wouldn't say garnet sweet potato, garnet yam, Joel yam, right? At the grocery store, that's what it says
too.
Totally. So Korean sweet potato, you might say, or Japanese sweet potato. But like in America, at the grocery store, like that's not even what it's called anymore. Like it's yam means multiple things now.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, this is funny. I guess I had never paid attention to the little stickers on sweet potato, no, on yams, what we buy as yams, mm-hmm. is that, so the USDA says that they have to be labeled sweet potato, mm-hmm. even if they're sold as yam, but people still call them yams, even though
you're not
right
looking
on
at
that,
that
sticker.
No, no, no. you know what? The funniest thing, I was, when I first moved here, we went to Sprouts and bought a bunch of sweet potatoes, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think there was an, I don't remember why we were talking to the cashier about it, but the cashier, I remember, was trying to, I got different varieties. Yeah. She was trying to ring them up each differently.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for pricing, uh-huh. they're all the same price. But so she's trying to ring them up differently. She's like, which one is this? And I said it was a sweet potato because I didn't, that's what it is to me. It's a sweet potato.
Right.
I didn't know, like, botanically, was that the garnet or the jewel? I don't remember. So I said it's a sweet potato. And she's like, oh, no, we don't sell sweet potatoes here. I'm like, girlfriend, you, I just, what?
You're like, you're holding one in your
hand. But that is what that is. And then she proceeds to explain to me what's the difference between, because she's like, these are yams. So I need to know what type of yams. And then proceeded to explain to me the difference to her between a sweet potato and a yam. She said that a sweet potato is actually, it's like a baby. She said it's like how a lamb is a baby sheep. Swear to God. Like a yam, a lamb is a baby sheep. A sweet potato is like a baby yam. I was like, girlfriend, let me go back and get this code for you because we have to go.
Oh,
I swear.
That's so embarrassing.
I always avoid her line. That was when I first moved here. I still shop at that Sprouts one, two times a week. If she's there, if her line is the shortest, trust me, I will go to the longest. I will avoid that line.
That is so
my
funny.
Husband too, he's like, not that girl, because she does have an opinion about everything, by the way.
Really?
it's not just this.
Oh my gosh,
she would give you the crazy false info about any old thing.
That is, I love
but
that
I'm like,
so
girlfriend,
much
I know the truth.
It's
you cannot
my
tell
job
me these lies
to know. You should have, like, handed her your business card and been like,
right,
see that URL?
Right, I should have.
I kind of know about this.
Yeah, she's a little, you know, a little off. So
right, she doesn't need your contact
yeah,
info.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got the energy, so, yeah.
That's amazing.
So that is untrue, guys. If y'all had heard that in the past, look, it is not true. It is not true.
Wow. We're really, like, busting some myths today.
Yeah, seriously.
Some deeply held beliefs.
But she, you know,
beliefs.
She's still telling folks that lie.
Absolutely.
Half of the folks that shop at Sprouts are still walking around thinking that.
Yes.
So hopefully they can listen to this episode and
hopefully.
Be informed.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Local listeners.
Yeah, local listeners.
Watch out.
Watch out. There is a woman spreading falsehoods.
That's fantastic. It's terrible, but it's hilarious. Oh my gosh. So yes, once again, they have nothing to do with each other.
No.
But you can call them whatever.
Right.
People will know,
but you
what
should
you mean,
know
but
the truth.
You should know what you're eating.
It's interesting. You should know.
And you might as well know that there is a thing called yam that's
right.
totally different.
Right. And if you Google and you want to know the nutrient value of a sweet potato and you type in yams,
oh yeah.
Be ready to be confused.
Yeah.
You know ahead of time, like, well, that didn't look anything like what I bought at the grocery store today. And I thought sweet potatoes have beta carotene, but this says zero.
Right.
Like, you should know.
Right. Context, people.
Yeah.
So as with like a lot of starches, sweet potatoes are a struggle food. There's different terms for that. Struggle mm-hmm. food, like survival food, all that kind
yeah.
of stuff. And they have occasionally been specifically brought to new countries as a backup crop
mm-hmm.
for years when the main crop is going to fail.
Yes.
For instance, in 1594, it is believed, the governor of Fujian in southeastern China, he brought sweet potatoes over because they had just had a drought and a famine.
Wow.
And the rice had completely failed.
Wow.
So he's like, we need to have something in place
exactly.
for when our native food doesn't grow in
yep.
a year. So when the rice crops were strong, they would feed the sweet potatoes to the animals.
Mm.
But when they weren't, they would eat them themselves.
Right.
And yeah.
Animals love sweet potatoes.
Really?
Especially dogs.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, they do. They
I mean, we're animals too, but humans and dogs love them.
Can't get enough.
Can't.
Oh, that's cute. Dogs do
super
love sweet
cute.
Potatoes. And let's see. There's some stat that it must have gone from Southeast Asia, China, all the way up the coast into Northeast China, where mm-hmm. by the late 1700s, mm-hmm. sweet potatoes were half the food supply for poor people
wow.
in Northeast China.
Wow.
That's
really?
A lot of sweet potatoes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we never think about that in the West.
No, it's fascinating how these plant-based foods. When I was writing my book, I did a lot of research about like the origins of foods, of mm-hmm. course, sweet potato, but other southern foods too, because, you know, it's a vegan soul food cookbook. But it's so interesting. I learned so much about how all of us come from plant-based backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that we're vegan or vegetarian, but plant-based, relying on, like you call them, struggle foods. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the foods that are most efficient. They give the people the nutrients.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are most reliable and that we always have been eating.
Yeah.
So like sweet potatoes, yams, rice, obviously. And then obviously greens, putting that on top because you always need to have your greens. Mm-hmm. But that was like the focus of the food that people have eaten until very, very, very recently.
Yeah. You know, I'm certainly not a vegan and I don't eat a lot of meat, but I wouldn't call myself a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So this is not to say that I'm better than anyone. I do think it's weird that some adult Americans still drink milk and mm-hmm. think it's important to get calcium.
Right.
When you can get so much more calcium from fewer dark leafy greens.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I have an acquaintance who was recently pregnant and her doctor, mm-hmm. back to the doctors and their nutrition nonsense, right. told her to drink a glass of milk every
wow.
day. And I thought that was so weird, knowing wow. what we know, because there's no possible way that right. the calcium benefit of the milk outweighs the downside of all the hormones exactly. that are put into conventional milk.
But the stuff that doctors tell you.
I know. They'll just tell you anything.
Or don't tell you.
That also, which is a big problem for mm-hmm. women especially.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have to be so informed. And it's so sad because, like we were saying before, about how busy people are and how like mm-hmm. low bandwidth we are. It's like really difficult for us to manage, like knowing that perhaps if we go to the doctor pregnant, mm-hmm. the doctor might not test this thing,
right.
say vitamin D. That doctor might not test vitamin D. Lo and behold, you might have a deficiency which might affect the baby. Like,
right.
like how are you supposed to know that you need to ask for that? How are you supposed to know that that's a thing? How are you supposed to know any of these things? Unless you have a lot of time, like
right.
I do.
And I'm sure some people would argue that we need to just go with the flow more, mm-hmm. like in olden days, and like whatever happens, happens, and it's fine. And that is one argument, because... we mm-hmm. it's not what I would do because I'm too uptight, but
too.
I appreciate that because we do, there's so much we have to know now.
Yeah, but the thing though about going with the flow versus like in the past, I would argue that now you have to be more vigilant uh-huh. of like negative actors trying to, because you know, there's like, we're talking about the food pyramid, the mm-hmm. USDA. The USDA is not just a body, a governmental body that's trying to protect us. They're so in bed with industry,
yes.
who's trying to get their, like the weed industry,
yeah.
get their product in onto our plates sold.
Yes.
They're so like, it's not like a government watching out for us. It's the government plus corporations, industry.
Yes.
So you have to be like really vigilant because
yeah.
folks are trying to like mess with you.
Yeah.
Like to make money. So go with the flow, yes, but go with the intuitive flow. Like, I think it's important to not be so caught up on food and so caught up on, should I be eating the keto? Should I be doing like, should I be avoiding phytates? Should I be do this or
yeah.
that? For me as a vegan, mm-hmm. it's very important for me to be vegan for ethical reasons. Also the health stuff, but if it was only health, I can't say that I would, you know, be a full-time vegan
mm-hmm.
because it's like, you know, like sometimes I drink, drink weed. Sometimes I smoke weed. Sometimes
right.
I drink wine. Like sometimes I do things that like, they're not the healthiest things in the world. I'm not an orthorexic person.
Right.
So health is not my personal number one priority in life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I, as a vegan, like, it's an ethical thing.
Right.
Beyond that, though, like, in the realm of just being a vegan, I don't see animal products as food. I don't want to worry about, you know, am I eating too many beans? Am I eating too much broccoli? Am I eating too little this? I mean, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, I like to follow my intuition. If I'm hungry, I'll eat.
Yeah.
If I'm not hungry, I'm not eating anymore.
Right.
You know? Like, I don't want outside... especially if it's scientific and it's like a doctor who's like really into nutritious, I'm interested in them like telling me about the studies
mm-hmm.
and such. But if it's a commercial
mm-hmm.
on TV, Instagram, something like that, I don't want to hear it. I don't care.
Right.
If it's a scientific article that is in a mainstream or mainstream news publication like New York Times or anything like that, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I don't care what you have to tell me. I don't want to hear it because I can't trust it. And I know, and it comes with a level of like advertisement to it mm-hmm. too. I want to follow my own intuition. Mm-hmm. I think everybody should do more of that. That's like the take it easy that way.
So that I agree with in theory, except for that people who don't have a lot of food education and were raised eating a lot of fast food and processed food, mm-hmm. they put addictive substances mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. those foods. So it overrides your your intuition.
So true. So true. So people like us, like people like, you know, I'm trying to help people eat better.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is part of my approach to educate people as well, especially doing volunteer stuff, okay. right? So, I mean, like, for example, in New York City, I worked for an organization that we went into schools and we helped kids eat more plant-based and mm-hmm. gave, like, talks to the parents and gave them more options. There was lower-income schools, okay. or not even lower, like,
low-income
okay. schools. And because those people, like, I wouldn't expect them... Like I give everybody a break, but especially people who have like the lowest amount of bandwidth and like the lowest amount of resources.
Yeah.
For those type of people, I think it's important for us as people with privilege to provide them with other options because they're not going to get it from elsewhere.
Right.
So I think we have to speak up to for those people and be resources for those people and show up for those people and help them see like the same stuff we've seen, like. Because otherwise, we're fighting against like these huge corporations yeah. who literally are manufacturing food, like you said, to keep them addicted.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, they put a lot of science dollars into that.
A lot.
I will say that there's probably 40% of the people listening to this episode right now are like, these women are crazy. This is some conspiracy theory level shit.
Well, good. Okay. Look, let's talk more because I have plenty to say. I could go on and on about this government and the
yes.
corporations.
I mean, the thing is, like, I can recognize that it probably sounds a little nutty, but I also genuinely believe everything that we've been saying.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
That's same. Fine. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Like I was saying, I was at that conference with mm-hmm. the athletes and, like, that talk about dairy and racism. I had no idea the efforts that the government has allowed corporations to go to and the amount of subsidies and leeway.
Subsidies are wild.
It's crazy.
Yes.
Now, that is not a conspiracy because it is true. It
right.
happened. There's no hiding it. I mean, whether we want to see it or not is
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah.
But like the level of just like dishonesty.
Yes.
It's crazy. I can't even like wrap my brain around it half the time.
I know. It's nuts. And you can't talk to a lot of people about racism and stuff like this because they don't want to hear that it's
Mm-mm.
racially motivated
Mm-mm.
at all, but
Mm-mm.
often it is.
It sure
it's a weird
is.
Part of it too.
Yeah. I don't want to hear it either because I'm like, oh, I want everybody to be, I don't want people to see race and da 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 and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But like, it's like facts
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's true.
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We're living in ridiculous times.
True debt.
Oh, okay. So sweet potatoes got to Japan via Indonesia.
Fascinating.
Apparently, which before it was thought that Dutch traders and colonizers when they took over Indonesia and then it came up through that. But now that we're thinking that
yeah.
sweet potatoes are actually from India.
Right.
Probably just like came from India through Indonesia. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. And they're like, you guys brought these crops, but we already know how to grow and cook them.
We got this.
We have this.
Yeah. I don't know why you're acting like this is cool.
Right,
we
right.
understand.
We'll cook it for you and show you how to prepare it.
Yeah, exactly. We have better recipes.
Yeah.
So,
it's so funny.
Yeah. So, apparently, like, they had been around in Japan for a couple hundred years. They'd
wow.
actually started first as, like, a plant for putting in your home.
Really?
Because the vine part of it
yeah,
can be really
pretty.
Yeah. But then the government got involved specifically in being like, we need to grow more potatoes mm-hmm. for crop diversity.
Feed folks.
Yeah. Yes. So that was government intervention that maybe wasn't bad. So, oh, okay. I want to know if what kind of sweet potato recipes you have, because I was looking at recipes from mm-hmm. around the world
mm-hmm.
and there's a Ugandan way of serving
Ooh.
Sweet potatoes. It's often eaten for breakfast, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're steamed and then grilled and served with a peanut sauce.
Ah, yum, yum.
Which I had never considered, but I was like, I want to eat that every day, whatever
yeah,
it is.
I want
it.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a recipe like that already?
No, but the closest thing I have, so I don't do peanuts.
Oh, I'm man.
Fake,
okay.
I'm fake allergic.
Okay.
So you can, if there's anything, if there's ever any of one of my recipes that calls for a nut butter and you want to use peanut butter, do it. It's okay. Just, I'm like fake allergy.
Okay.
But I have this really, it's a Thai inspired dish, mm-hmm. but it's sweet potato noodles that mm-hmm. you spiralize, mm-hmm. right? With a creamy, tangy almond butter sauce.
Ooh.
I've had, and if you look in the comments, there's been people who've used peanut butter.
Uh-huh.
So you can use whatever. But, so good.
It sounds amazing.
And you know that when you eat sweet potatoes with a source of fat, you better absorb the nutrients, especially the beta carotene. Is it not the beta? Yeah, I think it's the beta carotene because it's a fat-soluble vitamin.
Okay.
So always have your sweet potatoes with fat.
Everyone's like, yeah, okay, great.
Duh.
I love this rule.
Right? That's my favorite rule. I mean, I try to eat everything with fat, but
yeah. Oh my God. Yes. I love it. That sounds
you
so
know,
good.
In this African, West African cooking, they do so much with peanuts.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always have to like, if I see a recipe and I want to try it, almond butter instead.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can, I think a lot of nut butters can be subbed in
yes,
and out for each other. So
totally.
That makes sense. Yeah. I feel like cooking with peanuts isn't as well known in the Western world
no,
as it could be. All
no.
the very, the
right,
different
the
ways you can do it.
And like you said, the sauce.
Yeah. And I didn't know this, but apparently peanuts are a great plant to grow as farmers.
Yes.
They'd be a
nitrogen
great rotation.
Fixing,
yeah.
Right?
The nitrogen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're great for the soil.
Right. So back to the history mm-hmm. with talk about peanuts and sweet potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington Carver.
Mm-hmm.
Those are his two most famous crops that he studied for farmers in
yeah.
the American South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know a lot more about his peanut work,
yes,
I feel like.
Not that much about the sweet potato, but he did a lot with that too.
Yeah.
Teaching people how to grow sweet potatoes in their own like family plots of mm-hmm. land. And obviously because they're a good crop that's like easy to grow, like you're
yeah.
saying, like if one of the crops is failing, you can always have them
yeah.
grow sweet potatoes.
It can grow in bad soil.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
just fabulous. And you can eat the leaves also, not just the tuber.
Yeah, so there's a lot of opportunities with the sweet potato plant.
Yeah, he has a lot of crazy, if you go on the, I think it's the Texas A&M, I can find the link website. They have like all his crazy sweet potato recipe inventions, peanut ones as well.
Uh-huh.
But like he had peanut milk, peanut meat, peanut this, peanut that,
uh-huh.
sweet potato stuff too. Cray
very
cray.
Cool.
Sweet potato fish is one, I think.
Oh,
so they're all mock, it's like mock meat.
And for people who want to know more, your book
mm-hmm.
is Sweet Potato
Full.
Soul.
Yeah. Not every recipe is sweet, has sweet potatoes.
Right. Not
but
everyone.
A lot of them do, right? Like for every type. So you have to breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you mentioned the Ugandan thing. One of my favorite sweet potato breakfasts is sweet potato pancakes.
Ooh, yum.
Yes. So good. Sweet potato pancakes. And then there's like sweet potatoes for every other meal of the
right.
day.
Of course.
Of course.
You could
snack.
Eat them all day.
Yeah. Can make chips.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
And where can people find you on social media?
Sweet Potato Soul. I'm Sweet Potato Soul
everywhere.
.com, on YouTube, social media, my book.
That's good branding.
Thank you. Very clear.
Awesome. Well, Janae, thank you so much for coming and talking
thank
with
you.
Us today. I feel like we're on the same conspiracy theory wavelength.
Totally.
And that's been really fun.
Yes. I could talk to you for all day.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh Lord, I feel fine today, walking on cloud nine today. I'm over that line today, happiness is finally mine today. I guess I'm just a lucky guy, and here I'm about to tell you why. It's strictly on account of my sweet potato pie. The fella that she loves the most, the main reason why she left the coast. She's my little girl, senior. So much harder.